Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If you're listening from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce, we're excited that you decided to spend some of your Monday evening with us. You know, last week, if you were listening, we talked about how people die and how hospice and palliative care can impact one's end of life. During that conversation, we reiterated the need to have one's healthcare surrogate in place and all of our final wishes up to date and for people to know what those final wishes were. Tonight, I have two of our local experts on exactly that subject because recently voted super lawyers, Joseph and Jonathan Karp, are here, and we're going to discuss that and more with them in just a minute. But first, I hope everybody who celebrates had a happy new year. I hope you enjoyed it. You got to spend some time with your family. I hope you overate, even though we're not supposed to. It's always good, once or twice. It's not too bad. I want to wish everybody for next week an easy fast if you do. It is Yom Kippur next week. We will still be here, not live, but we will be here. So I encourage you, if you don't celebrate or if you finish early next week, you can still tune in. And then one more time, I want to reiterate about COVID. COVID's real. It's everywhere. Trust me on this. I can't tell you how many people I know who are coming down with COVID, who have been diagnosed with COVID, and it can be serious, even if you've been vaccinated. There are new vaccines coming out. I can't encourage you enough to speak to your medical professional, and if you should get a COVID vaccine, go get a COVID vaccine. You would rather be safe than sorry. But I have a lot to cover tonight, so I want to get to my guests. I'll tell you a little bit about Joe and Jonathan Karp. Joseph Karp helps Florida residents and their families navigate the legal problems we face as we age. He focuses his law practice on elder law and estate planning, holding both national and state certification as an elder law specialist. In 2023, he was named a super lawyer by Thomson Reuters, an honor he has received every year since 2009. Florida Trend has also honored him as a member of its legal elite every year since 2008. He's a member of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys and the Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys and the Palm Beach County Bar Association. Jonathan Karp, Joe Karp's son, joined the firm in 2016 after graduating cum laude from Nova Southeastern Shepherd Broad School of Law. He focuses on helping clients with their estate planning and on Medicaid planning to help them cover the cost of long-term care. He's a member of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, the Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys, the Palm Beach Bar Association. He was named a Super Lawyer Rising Star in 21 and 22, and he's graduated to a Super Lawyer. No longer a rising star, he has risen. And that was just announced, and congratulations, Jonathan. He's also a Department of Veteran Affairs accredited attorney. The Karp Law Firm has offices in Palm Beach Gardens, Boynton Beach, and Port St. Lucie, having served these communities for over three decades. Welcome back, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having us, Scott.
Thanks for coming. So let's start right with the most important part. Jonathan, maybe we can start with you. Why is having a healthcare surrogate so important?
So a couple of reasons. Number one, this is a document that we not only talk about for our elderly clients, but also for any of our clients' children who are of age of majority. So if you don't have anything in place in terms of who can make medical decisions for you, there's a law in place called the healthcare proxy that states who can make medical decisions on your behalf. Number one, having a healthcare surrogate in place makes it more seamless and allows you to name the person who you actually want. Without that document, first and foremost, the law may provide that the person who would make it under the law is not necessarily the person that you would want. So it outlines who can make medical decisions on your behalf, as well as containing a HIPAA release that states who can get your privileged medical information. And there's the legal implications of putting that document in place, signing it, naming the person that you want or people that you want. It's generally done in a pecking order, a line of succession where perhaps you name your spouse first, your child second. But then there's the practical implications of having the conversation with the person whom you've named, letting them know what your expectations are for medical decision making. And those expectations can change as you age. You may have a different perspective on what you would want when you are 60 than when you do when you're 80. So number one, consistently updating that document and updating who is the appropriate person to make those decisions, but also updating them on what your expectations would be.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, that really only comes into effect if you're unable to make your own decisions. Is that true? I mean, my kid can't come in and say, I don't care if dad wants the ventilator off, but I want it on and I'm his healthcare surrogate, right? And so that it's only an issue when you no longer have the capacity to make decisions for yourself?
For healthcare, absolutely. But that's a decision that a doctor makes. It's a spontaneous thing. There's no hearing of competency or anything like that. The doctor will evaluate whether you're competent enough to make that decision. You can have one where you say your child overrules you. I've never had one even. I haven't had the nerve to even suggest it. The other thing
I'd be
that's
gone tomorrow.
Yeah, the other thing that's important is our healthcare surrogate includes the federal HIPAA privacy release. And that says whoever is on your list, ours, and or whoever they designate, such as the aide that shows up at the doctor's office, has the authority, even though she's not family, to get information. And that's an immediate thing. That gives the capacity to find out what's going on. Sometimes the parent has gone to the doctor and they don't even remember what occurred, or they're seeing symptomatic behavior and they want to talk to the doctor and say, can you get my mother in and talk to her? I think there's something askew. So that you have the ability to get information, but you can't become a decision maker unless you're proper in the pecking order. Right. I get to make my decisions first.
Right.
Because that's how my document reads. Now, my wife would tell you that that's bull, that I'm going to do what she says. And she's right. Okay, that's a separate issue.
We have a lot in common here, Joe.
I understand. So that's a significant difference. And when you name somebody, there's a couple of things you should do. You should have, first of all, we give our clients a flash drive of that document and say, email it to your kids or whoever you've named. You want them to have access to it. If they're sitting in Yankee Stadium and they get a call that mom fell, they want to be able to email that healthcare surrogate immediately to the hospital. You also want to let people know who's not doing it. So, for example, if you have an adult child who's single and you're the parent, you're wondering, does my 35-year-old daughter have this? Who does she want to make her decisions? Because if it hits the fan, everybody's going crazy. Maybe she wants her best friend, her significant other, her brother, her sister, and not her parents, because she figures that you'll get even with her for being a teenager. So who's that? And then let people know more information that's not there. Everybody should have a copy of all of their meds, dosage and frequency, and that should be updated so your surrogate knows it, because that's the first question in the emergency room. You want to make sure we want to know what this person is taking. Do they have high blood pressure? Well, the med's going to tell you. And does the person have any allergies? So that can be attended to. So those are conversations. You can't detail everything in the instrument. And it does get updated as your quality of life. And it's funny, as you get older, you'll tolerate a lesser quality of life. I had an uncle who said, if I can't drive, shoot me. Well, he got macular degeneration. You know what? He wasn't out having somebody shoot him. He learned to adapt.
No, there's no question about that, which highlights, a whole bunch of questions. Circumstances evolve over time, right? Life evolves in terms of our own health. I know you for more than 10 years. I think we're going on 12 or 13 years the first time I met you. We're not the same people we were 13 years ago, even though we like to think that we are, right? Jonathan was probably in high school 13 years ago.
I wish.
And then, so we change, we evolve. I guess what I'm leading up to is, how often should we look at the things that we thought we were so certain about that we wanted, all right, so that we can make accommodation to those things that have changed for us?
So for our clients, we recommend that they review their estate planning documents at least every 3 years. The amount of times that I meet with somebody 3 years after they've signed their documents and we go through who they've named as their healthcare surrogate, they generally can be surprised, especially having gone through COVID. Without getting political, people had very strong feelings on getting vaccinated or not. So when people would come into our office and they would take a peek at who they've named, all of a sudden they've seen that they don't see eye to eye with the person that they named in terms of medical decision making and no longer trust them to handle their affairs. So certainly any changes in circumstances with the surrogate who you've named should be addressed. Second, if it's not, at least for our clients, every 3 years, we like to touch base to review who they've put in place and what the document says to make sure they're still comfortable and that the document still reflects their life circumstances.
The couple of other things. One, our document lacks specificity because people don't do it fast enough. Right. So it says, do what I've told you I want done, do what you think I want done, or do what you think is in my best interest. The other reason people come in, and John and I have this conversation frequently. Mr. So-and-so, if three doctors called you, one at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, one at 5, and one at 9, to discuss your wife's medical condition, could you remember everything they said so you could properly crystallize it to make a decision? Or do you think that would be an unfair burden on you and might lead to poor decision making? Do you think the time has come? Do you trust your daughter to make your wife's, to consult with you and to make the decision, to get the proper information and ask the right questions to the doctor? Remember, besides having some memory issues, you're going to be devastated if your wife is incapacitated at all, and that's a burden. And we do a lot of those changes, a lot of those.
It would be safe to say, we haven't even mentioned this, that in choosing your healthcare surrogate, first, second, et cetera, down the food chain, you really should take into consideration whether that healthcare surrogate thinks as you do about what quality of life is like for you, right? You need to make sure they're on the same page.
Or will honor it.
Right.
Or will honor it. I have clients whose children in a couple of religions absolutely will not terminate life supports. They're ultra religious in their faith. And they don't want to have the child compromise their religious philosophy in relation to their parents' wishes. So it's, if they don't think like you, that's one thing. The question is, can they honor your wishes? And the number of children who have appreciated the parents, they'll call me up and say, my daughter really appreciated that I asked that. And she said she wants to get information, but she can't do that. It does not fall within her religious beliefs. And we have a lot of people who have that too.
It's really, it's fascinating. And we're going to delve into this just a little bit more, but then you have within, you got to be careful about naming both of your kids as healthcare surrogates for a second, because because they may not agree. And I can't tell you how many times I have witnessed terrible battles between daughters and sons or sisters over what is best for their parents.
Florida statute says it's supposed to be one at a time,
right?
Because the doctors didn't want to get wet and urinating contests between the kids.
Right.
They fight up a storm.
Right.
And people, I always have to remind them, it's a job.
Right.
It's a job. It's a responsibility. Pick the person who won't be intimidated by the doctors, who will ask the right questions, and who will do what you want done, even though if it's in disfavor with the rest of the family.
Right. It's incredible. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Jonathan and Joseph Karp, Karp Law Firm. We're talking about, initially we're talking about healthcare surrogacy, but we're going to be talking about a whole lot more. We've got to remember that elder law attorneys like Joseph and Jonathan are about living the rest of your life the way that you want it. It's really important. When you're doing estate planning, it's what's happening to your money. But when you're doing elder law, it's how you want to live the rest of your life. And there are lots of important decisions as we age that we don't realize we may be forced to make, or we may ask somebody else to make for us if we can no longer make them ourselves. That's what we're talking about tonight. If you have questions for Joe or Jonathan Karp, you can reach us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're spending some of your Monday evening with us. I'm here tonight with super lawyers, elder law attorneys, Joseph and Jonathan Karp, Karp Law. We're talking about living the rest of your life the way you want to do that, and to make sure that those around you know what your wishes are and how they can and should support those. You know, we've been talking almost exclusively about healthcare surrogate guys before in the first segment. What I find all the time is that people confuse language, healthcare surrogates, DNRs, living wills, advanced directives. Are they all the same? Are there differences? Jonathan, what do you think?
Yeah, so there's definitely some differences. So number one, whenever clients come into our office for an estate planning consultation, they always start with the same thing, which is, I want to do a will, or I want to do a trust, or what happens when I die. And as elder law attorneys, that's not where we always start. We always start with incapacity. And that starts with the advanced directives, as you were just mentioning, specifically healthcare. So what we prepare for our clients is first and foremost the healthcare surrogate, which we've been discussing quite a bit, which states who can make your medical decisions in the event of your incapacity. And then we also prepare a living will. A living will says that if somebody has a diagnosis of a terminal condition, end stage condition, or they're in a persistent vegetative state, if two doctors plus somebody whom they've named, whether that's a spouse or a friend or a family member, if two doctors plus that person all determine there's no reasonable probability of medical recovery, that life support should be terminated. There's also a DNR, which is not a document that attorneys prepare. That's something that is prepared by your physician.
Okay, so the other thing you should recognize, by the way, sometimes you'll see it called the healthcare power of attorney, but it's the surrogate. Okay. The surrogate, by the way, says basically, you can decide anything I can, which means that can even override a living will. Because the surrogate can say, you know what? I understand if we go to Oregon, we can put you to sleep. And that can be done because you have that right to make that decision. A do not resuscitate order, or DNR or DNRO, is a separate document. Lawyers don't promulgate it. That says, do not give me cardiopulmonary resuscitation if I have a cardio attack. And it used to be the law that that document would be signed by you or your agent and the doctor, but the doctor had to certify that you were terminally ill. That law changed when they said you can make your own medical decisions and you can refuse treatment even if you're not terminally ill. So now it has to be signed by you or your healthcare surrogate, and it has to be signed by the doctor that the person signing it understands what that means. And you would think, well, if I got cancer or Alzheimer's, I'm going to sign it. I've had a couple of clients who absolutely flabbergasted me, and I'll tell you a story. One of my clients came in for his three-year review, and he pulls out the papers, and he says, I got everything, Joe. Here's the trust, the will, the power of attorney, the healthcare surrogate, and the living will, and I've got a DNR. I said, we didn't do a DNR for you. We don't do those. He said, I know that. And he pulls out the yellow piece of paper signed by him and his doctor, and he's in his mid-80s, and I said, why do you have that? You're in good health. You play tennis three times a week. He said, Joe, my wife died a couple of years ago. My kids call with some relative degree of frequency. I play tennis doubles three times a week. That is my life. That is the only reason I can get up every day knowing that today or tomorrow I'm playing. He said, if I have a heart attack, that's in my tennis bag. My buddies know, let me die there. I don't want to have to go to doctors three times a week and do blood work. He said, I've had a great run, but I don't want to go through that. And I found other clients who have early diagnoses of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. And they understand the likelihood of their deterioration and say, if I have a coronary event, I'm ready to check out. So you would think it's only for people, and that's the way it used to be, who are terminally ill, who just don't want to be thumped so they can live a bit. So, and that document, by the way, if the yellow piece of paper is shown, EMTs will honor, because that says don't give the resuscitation. They won't honor a living will, because that requires a diagnosis. They're not going to listen to my wife saying, oh, he's terminally ill or he's end stage. No.
Right.
In fact, with the remote control, I am in a persistent vegetative state.
Thanks to Netflix.
And those two documents, I find, are commonly confused by clients. Clients that we've signed living wills for come back in 3 years later for their review and talk about their DNR. And I remind them that we didn't do a DNR. We did a living will and explain the difference to them. And I've actually had clients in our office who've had DNRs who it looks like they were just signed without really having it explained to them, because I've had them torn up in my office because they thought they were signing a living will when they actually signed a DNR. Yeah. And vice versa.
The DNR is the most misunderstood document in the documents that we're speaking about, because one is it's used almost never because it's about resuscitation, and not everybody honors
it. I think the most confusing document that our clients generally see that's medically related is the Medicare benefit statement as to what is covered and why.
Well, that may be true. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with two wonderful guests who have been on before, but tonight we're talking about a different subject than we've talked about with them in the past. I'm here with Joseph and Jonathan Karp of Karp Law. We're talking about how you want to live the rest of your life with two elder law super lawyers, as named by Thomson Reuters. So if you have questions about the subject we're talking about tonight for Jonathan or Joseph, give us a call, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Thrilled that you're here tonight. We're talking with Jonathan and Joseph Karp of Karp Law. We're talking about, they are elder law attorneys. We're talking about healthcare surrogates. We mentioned a little bit about wills, advance directives, DNRs. All of those things, you probably have all those papers in your safe, which is the worst place you should have them because nobody can get into your safe when you need them, which I guess is another subject matter we could talk about, you know, like where should you keep all your documents. But there are life events. We all, when we make all of these plans, when we sit down with Joe and Jonathan and we make all of these plans, we're absolutely certain that we've made plans that will be forever. But life happens. Things happen. There are lots of things that should cause us perhaps to rethink some of the things we thought we wanted. I'd like to, if I could, Jonathan, maybe you, what are some of the changes that happen in people's lives that force them to redo their documents or rethink about the way they've, you know, we named one before with COVID and in terms of some changes in terms of vaccination, et cetera, but more importantly, what are some of the other things that impact people's decision making or should?
So anytime I meet with a client and we're going over all of their documents and the terms of their trust and who's being named as the healthcare surrogate, I always find them trying to get it totally right and cover every situation from now until they pass away. And what I always remind people is this is a moving target. It's going to evolve and change over time as your life evolves and changes over time, as your assets, as your health, as your relationships change. So just by example, I signed documents today with a young couple who has two young children, and we were naming guardians of their children and who would be in charge of their children's trust. And just taking them by example, at some point, those kids who money's being held in trust for are going to be 25, 26 years old. They will probably be their parents' healthcare surrogate. At that point, they will be more worried about their child's first wife or first husband and how to protect money from the in-laws. So just evolution of your family, your own health in terms of decision-making. As Joe mentioned earlier, if you've named your spouse as your healthcare surrogate and she has a diagnosis or her memory or his memory isn't as great as it once was, they may no longer be the appropriate people or person to make medical decisions or handle financial affairs under the terms of a power of attorney. Kids getting divorced, any other significant life events, like if a kid is becomes disabled and receiving governmental benefits, that would require updating your plan, any significant changes in finances and how to properly fund your trust and make sure the assets get titled. So any purchases, any openings of new accounts, at least it requires addressing the titling of that. But there's a whole bunch of life events, which is why we always recommend our clients come in fairly regularly to go over those things.
I'm going to add something. And this is the unfortunate thing we see as well. The number of our clients who have been our clients for 15 and 20 years coming in, cutting out a child. The number of people that are doing that is incredible. Thinking about a couple who came in, saw me last week, had four children, two of them deceased. The father started crying about the one they were going to cut out, not about the deceased children, because he could do nothing about the fact that those children were deceased. He just couldn't figure out how he couldn't fix the relationship with the child. And that's when he started crying. And sometimes they like to blame the in-law. Sometimes it's the child. The economy has caused some of the problems. Political philosophies. This has been a highly volatile couple of years where people have major political disagreements in families and they don't stop talking to each other. And that's been a real problem. So that is a major thing. And when the people come in, I'm shocked at how many of them are resigned and comfortable with their decision that you just can't do this anymore. It's usually the husband is saying they can't treat my wife that way, or the wife saying they can't treat my husband that way. Most of us, we have been trained to learn to take it from our kids individually. They break us in by soiling a diaper on day one, so you're used to taking their crap. It's just a setup. So you'll take it, but you don't want them to give it to your wife or your husband. So it's just an interesting thing that we're seeing a lot of.
I mean, to me, that's amazing. I mean, I understand it, though. I can't tell you how often I see it in my line, right? I see warring factors all the time, and it's usually over the most unnecessary issues, but they rise to a level that just infuriates people. Everything you said, both of you, really is astounding. The one thing I would add is your wife 15 years ago may not be your wife today, so you may be dealing with step families, and then that's a whole new agreement. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Joseph and Jonathan Karp of Karp Law. We're talking about, obviously, all of things that impact the way we want to live the rest of our life. We're going to switch a little bit when we come back to how you should spend your money. We're going to talk about taking care of Fido if your pet's there. And we're going to talk about whether you should gift money to your kids now or later. We still have a lot more to talk to Joe and Jonathan Karp about. If you have questions for John or Joe, just call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm here tonight with Jonathan and Joseph Karp of Karp Law. They're noted elder law attorneys. In fact, they're super lawyers, just named by Thomson Reuters in 2023. Joe's been such since 2008 or 2009, and Jonathan since 2018, I think. But regardless, we're talking about how you want to live the rest of your life. We've been talking about the documents that are required to make sure that your wishes are always honored. But I want to shift gears a little bit, if I can. Jonathan, I'll ask you, people misunderstand the whole concept of gifting, right? They don't fully understand it. So can we talk about whether, one, should we gift now while we're still alive, or should we wait until we're gone? And if we're gifting, are there things we best be aware of so we don't make a stupid mistake?
Yeah, so I find that the rules about that is definitely misunderstood quite a bit. You probably have heard that you can only give $17,000 away per year tax-free, which is kind of true. So there's a unified credit for the feds where you can gift $17,000 per year per person, and that's not a reportable event. You don't have to file a gift tax return, and you can just give away that money. But you have a lifetime exemption as well, and I'm rounding up the numbers, but each person individually has about $13 million they can give away during their lifetime. And if you're married, you can use each other's credit, so you have about $26 million. So in theory, you could pass away with about $25 million or give away $25 million tax-free. And I am acutely aware that I am sitting next to my father right now. So when it comes to gifting, I totally agree that you can give away money now. You know, many of my clients, their thought is, my child's going to get the money when I pass away. Why not give them some money now and help out their life? Many of my clients, they have Social Security, they have pensions, they have required minimum distributions, their homes are paid in full, they're not out living a luxurious lifestyle, they're really just living off of their income, and their principal just continues to grow. So they don't need the money. The one thing to be aware of if you are making gifts is you'll lose out on the step up in basis for your children. And this is getting into the weeds a little bit, but if one inherits an asset a capitally appreciated asset at one's death, they get what's known as a step up in tax basis. The bottom line is it's a big tax advantage to the beneficiary versus if you make a gift of that during your lifetime, they don't get the step up in basis. But many of my clients are giving their children money, paying off student loans, giving grandchildren money, and they're doing it today, and they're doing it tax-free.
Couple of things. When John says you don't get the step up in basis, you don't even get the basis at the value of the time of the gift. So if you bought Apple stock for $1,000 and you decide, I don't need all this Apple stock, it's worth $100,000. I'm going to gift it to my daughter. It's worth $100,000. File a gift tax return. Deduct that from your lifetime exclusion. There's no tax on that. Your daughter goes to sell it. Your $1,000 basis is hers.
Right.
And therefore, she's going to get hit with capital gains on a hell of a lot of money, whereas holding it makes some sense. There's one area that, and this is good news for Jonathan, that my clients have fear of gifting. It's long-term care costs.
Right.
Because that is the imponderable. How much is enough? Which is why I've always encouraged my clients to get long-term insurance if they can afford it and make a decision whether you can afford it. They now have hybrids with life insurance and or annuities, so they can't change the premiums on you. But my wife and I have great long-term insurance, something you can't get anymore. So we have lifetime coverage.
Almost impossible to get anymore. We have long-term care, but we waited too long, and we can't get We never could get a lifetime coverage.
We've got lifetime coverage with
you have inflation adjusted.
5% compounding. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I'm now worth $630 a day. Somebody's going to be so happy to clean my tuchus because they're going to get a lot of money. He's got somebody to send over because I've got great coverage.
Right. And, well, I look, I'm not laughing about that because the truth is long-term care costs really become critical to people who thought they were in great shape and suddenly are not.
So this gives me the comfort that I can assist my children without impinging on my quality of life, and I can help set theirs up. So the other issue is there's always the balancing act. You want to make sure that your kids have earned it. I mean, I was just reading about Anderson Cooper.
Right.
He comes from very wealthy parents, and they made him do it his own way and earn his way.
Right.
And that's an important
dignity
thing.
Yeah, he's a Vanderbilt.
Thing.
Most people don't know
Gloria Vanderbilt was mommy.
Right.
Okay.
No, but I wanted to revisit one thing that you said, Jonathan, which is the $17,000 a year without reporting it. I think most people don't understand that in my case, I could give $17,000 a year to my daughter. I could give $17,000 a year to my son-in-law. I could give $17,000 a year to my granddaughter. My wife can give $17,000 to my daughter, $17,000 to my son-in-law, $17,000 to my granddaughter. That's $108,000, and I don't have to report it. So you can give a lot of money away these days, right?
You can give $17,000 to my son. That's important to recognize. There's no relationship issue.
Right.
You can give it to anybody.
Right.
I'll give you his mailing address, and he'll take it in unmarked 10s and 20s.
But the question we didn't really ask is, what do we think, other than the long-term care risk, right, is there a point at where it makes sense to start giving it now or not, or is that all personal preference?
Okay. It used to be that we looked at the taxes. We looked if we were going to beat estate taxes to diminish the size of the estate.
Right.
I had an interesting thing with a client many, many years ago when 600,000 was the magic number. She was worth 5 million. And I said to her, 10,000 was the magic number. I said to her, give each of your kids 10,000. You're at the 55% tax bracket. So it's going to really be $55,100 from Uncle Sam and $4,500 to you. And she said to me, she was a petite woman, but apparently had not always been. She said, Joe, once you've been fat and once you've been poor, you never feel thin and you never feel rich. I can't do it. So that's that whole psychological component. So I can never tell a client where their comfort zone is.
Right. No, that's terrific. If you're just tuning in, I've been here tonight with Joseph and Jonathan Karp of Karp Law. We were talking about so many really important subjects. We really, really are. And I hope that you've been here from the beginning. But if you haven't, I have good news. You can recapture what we've talked about because we will podcast. Yes, we will. Up and running tomorrow, somewhere around noontime or 1 o'clock. The show will be available on your favorite podcast platform. All you have to do is search OMG, I'm Getting, OMG, I'm Getting, and we will be there. You can listen to this or any of our previous shows. If podcasting is not your thing, you don't do a lot of podcasting, you don't have to miss out anyway because it'll be on my website. All you have to do is go to palmbeach.comforcare.com, palmbeach.comforcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Regular listeners know you don't put a T in there. New listeners, don't put a T in there. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Of course, there's no reason to ever miss the show. You can listen iHeartRadio. All you have to do is set a reminder for 6 o'clock on True Oldies in West Palm, and there will be. And, of course, we simulcast. You're here all the time. TrueOldiesFLA.com. You can listen wherever you are, anywhere in the world, because we simulcast TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week is Yom Kippur. For those who celebrate, I hope you have an easy fast. If you don't, we're still going to be here. We're just going to replay a show. We're going to talk about audiology. We're going to talk about hearing next week with Dr. Lindsay Bryant, an audiologist, who can explain to you why getting your hearing checked may be the most important thing you can do to enhance the quality of your life. I encourage you to listen to that. In 2 weeks, we're going to change entirely. We're going to talk about something totally unrelated I've never done. We're going to talk about Bobby Darin. We're going to talk to a good friend of mine, Ron Gartner, and his lovely wife, Fran Heller. They're going to be here. He does a show about Bobby Darin. It's not a tribute show in the sense of tribute shows. He's been traveling all over the country doing this show. He just recently played to almost 5,000 people in Idaho. He does a lot of audiovisual review of the life of Bobby Darin, and he can sing. So he's not going to sing on the show, but we are going to talk about Bobby Darin, and we're going to have a very big announcement about the future of Oh My God, so you want to tune into that. To everybody else, I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. But in the few minutes I have left with my guest, Jonathan and Joe Karp, Joe, I know one of the things that you feel really strongly about, and I understand this because I hear it all the time, pets in our lives, pets in... And there are a lot of implications. People want to leave pets money. People have pets at home and they rush to the doctor's offices. They sometimes live in gated communities. Give us some of the things to think about when it comes to pets.
There's, again, sort of what John indicated at the outset. People will come in and say, I want to make provisions for my pet if I die. And I say, okay, we can set up a pet trust. We can do certain things to ensure, and you can set forth the terms and conditions. And then I hit them with the usual question. What if you don't die? Okay, what are the procedures? Who's going to be in charge of the pet? Who's going to be aware? Are there names on the gate that they can automatically come in? Do they know what veterinarian you're seeing? Do they know who could be the dog walker? Do they know what your pet's medications are? Do they know all of this stuff? Who's going to call this person? Set the backups in place. The good news for cat people, cats can usually last a couple of days. Dogs can't. Dogs cannot.
Right.
So get that in place. And we put in, I just did recently, a limited power of attorney where somebody can get through the gate because I didn't want it as a question and can take custody of the cat because... That's not a person they trust with their money, and they put a clause in their power of attorney that says, you shall give the pet caregiver whatever it takes to take care of my pet, so that it's important to people, and they sort of forget about it. And probably right now some of your listeners are, like, upset because they never thought about that.
Right. No, there's no question. Pet lovers are a breed. There's no question. And if you love their pet, they're family. They're like family.
They're better than family. They don't talk back and they're happy when you walk in the door.
Yeah, yeah. Jonathan, you and I talked about this briefly. We don't have a whole lot of time left. Getting older, and because you see it by looking at me and looking at your dad, right? Getting older brings with it a lot of changes, but not everybody's always willing to accept the fact, the reality of their changes. Do you have any advice for people who are getting older and are hesitant to admit that life has changed for them?
What I always tell my clients, and sometimes it's quite clear when somebody walks into my office, especially when I'm talking to a married couple or occasionally when it's a widower or a widow and their child, and it's just become obvious that they're no longer the most appropriate person to take care of their own affairs, or the wife can't make the husband's decisions anymore. And I always just tell them to have an open and honest, an emotionally honest conversation about that. And I kind of go over the same thing that Joe touched on earlier, which is if a doctor called you at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, three different doctors giving you information about what the test results were and what decisions should be need to be made, would they be the most appropriate person to crystallize the information to make the best decision for their spouse? And many times they will just say, yeah, I would not be the best person. They'll defer to a child or another relative. But it's just being open, honest, and true to yourself in terms of your capabilities at that point. Sometimes you're willing to step down. Sometimes I don't know if it's pride or ego or what, but usually they
will. It's denial. Everybody thinks we live in the sunshine state. We live in the state of denial. The one thing I didn't ask, I know you want to say something, Joe. The one thing I didn't give you a chance to do is, how do people reach you guys? We need to do that. How do people reach you guys?
They can reach us directly at 561-625-1100, or they can check out our website, which is carplaw.com, K-A-R-P-L-A-W.com.
Give the phone number another time.
561-625-1100.
Right. The other thing I'm going to say that we didn't address, and I've never addressed it with you, is single people have dilemmas in estate planning, and we help you guide your way through that.
That's a great
most
point.
Yeah, most of them say, you know, my niece is in Chicago, New Jersey, I don't know who, I don't know what, and that has to be discussed, because that's a painful reality that's got to be dealt with, and we can guide people. Our business cards do not say attorneys at law. It says counselors at law. We are in the advice-giving business, and most of that advice is not legal. It's our experience that brings knowledge and common sense to the situation.
You know, I can't tell you how important that is, and I'm glad that you raised that. We don't have any more time to talk about it. I wish we did. But that's so true. I see so many people who have nobody to turn to for help and advice and counsel or support or surrogacy or there. But if you're single, this is really important. And so I would encourage you to call my friends, Jonathan and Joe Karp at Karp Law. Guys, I'm so glad you were here. You did a terrific job. You're always wonderful guests. Tonight was a hoot. And we gave out a lot of good information. If you have questions for Joe and Jonathan Karp, they can be reached at karplaw.com. I encourage you to do so. We'll see you next week. Have an easy fast. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Good night, everybody.